Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, Faithful? It is absolutely incredible to be with you guys today. Such a monumental day on several accords. You have to start the conversation with Roger Craig and just what he has meant to this fan base and to so many this team. I mean, the 49ers history, legacy, everything that they do is embodied by a human being like Roger Craig, and getting into the Hall of Fame today, plus we're 33 days away from the kickoff. Are you freaking kidding me? It is written. It is amazing. And also remiss, as if you watched any of the Hall of Fame speeches and all those things, revealed that he's going through dementia, which is just awful. It sucks, and you hate that for, perhaps somebody you never met, but somebody that you love because of just all the hurt and pain and glory and all those different things that you've gone through because of him. And so, yeah, first off, just hat tip, man, Roger Craig, such a great dude, where he belongs in the Hall of Fame, the original thousand and thousand back. That is beautiful. Then Kyle Shanahan returning to the podium, back out practice without sunglasses. That's a new development, coming off the car crash and all those things. And yeah, I don't want to get into the car crash. We are a football show. We will be a football show. I am not, we're not drama. We're not into that type of stuff that's going on out there, but it's nice to have your head coach back. And on top of that, like he talked about how he's been doing everything that he usually does, the film, coaching notes, implementation, going through practice tape, all those things, which he sees as the most important part of his head coaching job, the teaching, mentoring, scheming, all those things. He's been doing it. I think a lot of people outside of the media, a lot of people in the media have been making it a little bit bigger deal than what it probably should have been. And you got to remember, since Kyle Shanahan showed up in 2017, he has had every single installment and positional room record their meetings since 2017. So now you have a 10-year catalog of installing the same offensive scheme, all those different things, which a lot of the coaches have been here anyway, right? I mean, the Shanahan loyalty program is strong. And so they have all those things to go back and watch. How did you implement these meetings last year? So on and so forth. That has been there, and I think that's huge as well. So I'd love to see that, but just love, it's nice to have Kyle back behind the podium. We didn't really get one of the all-time Kyle, little sound bites that he does. Here's one for just for show.
That makes no sense. I'm sorry.
But it's just nice to have the head coach back. That is huge. And, hopefully he gets back to the full, whatever they ask him, are you going to call plays during preseason? He's like, dude, I didn't call plays last year. So take that for what you will, but that's huge. This is episode 1688 of the 49ers Rush Podcast. We're going over a training camp roundup, talking about Shanahan. Got to hear from not one, but two rookies at the podium today, which I thought was really, really cool. Romello Height and Deshaun Stribling. Going to give some takeaways from that. Things that we're seeing at practice, some takeaways, injuries. Yep, there are a couple new ones. Nothing of major significance. But have to say thank you to Corey Robbins, David Gill, 49ers 365, the executive producers of the show. Excited to be with you guys today. Thank you to the Countdown crew, all the hashtag CCs. My man Phil in town first. Appreciate you, buddy. What's up, Captain? Everybody showing up. What's up, Mosquito? You guys are the best of the best. Dave in-house is going to be a lot of fun. As always, if you guys have any questions, comments, concerns, throw those in the live chat. We have time for those today, which should be a lot of fun. I've been domestic as of late, building furniture in the new abode. Where we were before, we had a lot of built-in space, and here we do not. So I am assembling furniture. I'm tinkering on the side late into the midnight hour, building dressers and all kinds of stuff. But, you know, this is – training camp is fun because you get to go down a couple different avenues. You've got 90 players out there. 49ers don't have that many practicing. Probably closer to, you know, about 75 out there. But whenever you're in season and you just have 53 players, the media – only gets to see the opening warm-up and individual special teams periods. That's it. Right now, the media gets to stay out there all the time. And so it's kind of fun to see the 1v1s, the team, who's winning, who's losing, back into the roster. It's always fun, especially for us at the 49ers Rush Podcast, which, you know, we're doing our roster countdown series. We don't want to just focus on the names everybody knows. And so whenever you get some of these viewpoints into the back end of the roster and maybe the stars of tomorrow, the long-term development plays of the 49ers, it's a lot of fun. And so being able to do that and jump around, I'm pretty excited about it. We're going to do some of that today. Captain right here says, Roger had me in tears, seriously. The perseverance, the weight, the Hall of Fame it's pesky, man. And for the trials and tribulations that Roger has gone through on and off the field, you feel for that. You really, really do. And, you know, one of my favorite coaching axioms and something that I used to, you know, my 16 years of coaching, football doesn't build character, it reveals it. It's going to show you and everybody else who you are. Now, what you choose to do from that perspective, it's going to that's where you become a man. You know, I coached high school out in Duncanville and places in California and whatever else. But, like, when you're losing, and everybody goes through that, how do you react to your teammates? That's the type of dad you're going to be. That's the type of husband you're going to be. So are you the guy that quits and walks out whenever it gets hard, whenever it seems like all is lost? Or are you the type of person that perseveres, overcomes, rallies up, all those things? You listen to Roger. You watch Roger Craig. And it's just like, God, it makes you want to live more dearly, right? More passionately, to put more out there. And that's what's so beautiful about those speeches. It's not just Roger. He's ours, right? The red and gold. But a lot of those speeches out there, it's a beautiful thing. And especially getting the Hall of Fame speeches 5 years, sometimes 20, sometimes 25 years after their playing careers are over, and they get a look back and make better sense and provide more context through the entire process that he went through as a player. God, it's just beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful. And hopefully we, myself, you, your kids, force them to watch that stuff. Like, tell them, hey, if you watch Roger Craig's speech with me, we'll go do something fun. Let's go get ice cream afterwards. Like, dude, bribe them. There ain't nothing wrong with bribing kids. Hopefully your kids want to see that anyway. But, like, oh, that's just beautiful. It's a beautiful moment, and I'm thankful to just be a witness on this side and to be able to share things like that. Captain, you are the freaking man. I'm from Texas, and one of the worst things that could ever happen is whenever it's dinner time and you don't have what you need for the dinner for the family. And so I'm a big steak, barbecue, you name it, grill out. That's what I love, and that's why I use Omaha Steaks. So whether it's a rushed weeknight or a Saturday cookout, you can have quality protein on hand when you need it. Ribeyes for special occasion, juicy burgers for a cookout, grilling chicken, seafood, gourmet franks. Omaha Steaks has what you want. Plus, they now have sides, desserts, and more. So a great dinner is minutes away. And the best thing about it is it's steakhouse quality without the steakhouse prices. There's no more last-minute run-its to the store. It arrives vacuum-sealed, frozen, ready to go. And if you've never tried them, the Burger Perfection Flight is the perfect introduction. For just $79.99, you get 20 premium steak burgers crafted from 5 distinct cuts of steak. You get 4 filet mignon burgers, 4 New York strip burgers, 4 ribeye burgers, 4 brisket burgers, 4 sirloin burgers. So try the Burger Perfection Flight at omahasteaks.com today. That's 20 premium steak burgers for just $79.99. Plus, you get $35 off with the promo code BEEF, B-E-E-F. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code BEEF for $35 off at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. Ben, hashtag CC, congratulations to Roger Craig and 33 days to kick off. That's what's up, man. Oh, it's just beautiful. It is beautiful. Thank you, David. It says best show on the web. Appreciate that. Philip, thanks for the super chat, my man. He was the first one in the chat today, too. Hashtag CC, 49ers have to be healthy by October 11th. I live in Seattle. I can't afford us losing here. Especially with what happened in the playoffs. That was rough, man. That was rough. But, yeah, we've got to get one for Phil. We'll be up in Seattle. So, like, come party with us. And if you never made it up to that stadium, Lumen Field, it's one of the best. It's definitely a top 10. I'd probably put it number 6 overall. But such a cool downtown on the water. Stadium's awesome. Fans, yeah, they're going to be a little bit more pesky than normal. But that's okay. That's okay. What's up, Jack? Jax, appreciate. Love seeing you in here. Blown away. We haven't gotten a Super Bowl under him. This has been a wild run so far with Shanahan. And it's coming. You just keep knocking on the door. You keep knocking on the door. You keep knocking on the door. It's going to happen. Yeah, right here, Strawberry. Shanahan hasn't called plays in the last 2 years in the preseason. People like to make bigger issues out of the negative because that gets you clicks. I get it. I understand it. We don't do it, but I understand why they do. If your motivation's money, that's what you're going to go to. And I hate that that is the case for some, but anyway. Yeah, anyway, love all the hashtag CCs, even if you're in a little bit later. That's okay. Glad that you guys are here. Yeah, great to see Shanahan speak to get today. Let's go! Love all that stuff. Right here, Dan. John, what percentage chance would you give Brock Purdy going over 5,000 yards passing? Oh, that's really, really high. One, the 49ers have never, ever had a 5,000-yard passer. You look at Brock Purdy holds the current franchise record for passing yards. 5,000 yards just does not happen very often. He threw 4,280 yards back in 2023. That's the all-time franchise record. So you have to add another 721 yards on top of that. I would say probably 20%. The over-under on Brock Purdy, I think, is like 4,700 yards. So that is there. So I'm gonna say about 20% that Brock could do it. If he stays healthy with all these new wide receivers, I think the 49ers are going to continue to transform into a passing offense. The run game will always be there under Shanahan. But you saw it last year where Mac Jones and Brock Purdy, if you look at pass yards per game, passing, you know, NFL passer rating, you want to look at QBR, you want to look at it up amongst the top of the NFL, whenever you're looking at a per game, per pass basis, I think it's going to adapt to that. And if Deshaun Stribling can show up and improve, I'm going to say about 20%. But 5,000 passing yards just are not normal in the NFL. I think there's been like 11 of them in the history of the NFL. Maybe a little bit more now. That might be an older stat. But I take 20%. I take 20%. What's up, Joel? Man, all the way from freaking the Philippines. Great to see you, man. Monkey, are we keeping three quarterbacks? Does Rourke look decent for a future backup when Mac leaves? Adrian Martinez looks way better. There's no doubt about that. Now, you've invested more in Rourke. You used the 7th-round pick on him a year ago. You redshirted him coming off the ACL surgery. That was the plan when you drafted him. I love, and again, if I was a general manager head coach, I am pounding the table for it. We're drafting a quarterback every year. It's just too important a position. Now, might be a 6th-rounder, might be a 7th-rounder, late round, whatever. Adrian Martinez is a better player at the current installment. You don't expect the quarterback 3 to play, so what is your long-term plan with that position? Do you keep 3 quarterbacks and let go of another tight end, let go of another wide receiver, let go of a defensive end because you only get to keep 53? Will Curtis Rourke pass through waivers? Because if you cut them, somebody else can claim them. These are all the questions that you have to go through whenever you're on the back end of your roster. If you get to the 3rd quarterback this year, you're not hoping for good things. If Brock Purdy and Mac Jones goes down, Whether that's Adrian Martinez or Curtis Rourke, you're kind of screwed. I have more faith in Adrian Martinez. I like emergency quarterbacks to have athleticism that can bail out because they're not getting the practice reps. But Adrian Martinez way further along than Rourke. Long term, you have to think Rourke will occupy and, you know, efficiently operate the Shanahan system better than Adrian Martinez. So the long term play, if you look at 2027 on, you're hoping Rourke is that guy. I don't think any quarterback has shown enough to the point where you're like, you know what? We've got to use a 53-man spot for that third quarterback. I know that Shanahan loves keeping three. With this roster competing for a Super Bowl now, no quarterback, Curtis Rourke or Adrian Martinez, has shown me enough to keep three quarterbacks. I'm fine waving both of them, casting them out in the wind, and seeing what returns. And if it's not one of them, grab somebody else, and then worst case scenario, next year during the free agency, you get the next Kyle Shanahan reclamation project to come in when Mac Jones goes and gets paid elsewhere. So for me right now, I'm saying no. Maybe through some roster gymnastics, gentlemen's agreements, you know, handshakes behind the scenes, you can cut some of those veteran guys to Marcus Robinson, you know, Jack Jones, Nate Hobbs, that will not go through waivers. And that would allow you to keep a Curtis Rourke so you couldn't miss him. Right off the bat, I'm saying no. I'm not keeping three. But if you get creative, clever with the back end of that roster and get some of those veterans to come back, because Curtis Rourke, Adrian Martinez will not clear. You know, they have to go through waivers. Will they clear it? That's a question. How do you feel about that? Ooh, that's a good question. Now, man, I do have to say this. Shout out to my bookie. They are back. I am pumped with them, and just they stepped up to the plate big time for us this year. And so if you are a better in any way, shape, or form, this is where you got to do it. Football is back, ladies and gentlemen. And whether you've been betting for years or you're just looking to get into the action for the first time, MyBookie is where I'm playing. I'll be sharing some of the spots that we're on, and if you want to follow along with us betting every single week, weekly, season-long, you name it, we post those at the49ersrush.com, every single bet we do, and on our Patreon channel, the 49ers Rush podcast. So, and that's the thing. You get a pick with MyBookie, whether you just want to jump in, you want to bet props, you want to bet over-under, you want to bet who wins outright, MVP, whatever sport, college football, NFL, doesn't matter. It is up on MyBookie, and they are ready to help you guys out. So if you're new to the club, here's what we're going to do. We're setting up a safety net. You get a bet back bonus. Your very first bet from $50 all the way up to $500. If you lose, you get it right back, plus a $25 casino credit. So sign up at mybookie.ag. Use promo code 49ers, 49ERS. Opt into our bet back bonus and take your first shot with a safety net. Football's finally here. Get in now and cash in with MyBookie. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere, and I mean anywhere. I bet in California, Texas, doesn't matter where you are. You can use MyBookie. Let's go. Let's go. Now, I do have to update the 49ers week one game. The spread just keeps increasing. Right now, the 49ers are 4-point underdogs. Against the Rams week one down in Australia. So if you bet the 49ers to win outright week one, let's say you put the $500 down on mybookie.ag, use promo code 49ERS, and they don't win just outright, you get all that money back with a one-time rollover, which is industry best. But if you do win, you win $785 cash. So I'm not saying put all $500 down. That's not what I'm saying at all. But it's crazy what's out there right now. If you think the 49ers are going to come out of the gate swinging, that is there for you. Now, I do want to talk about the injuries. I mean, shoot, we just kind of have to, right? It's a problem. Another hamstring. What's the saying? Like an apple a day keeps the doctor away? It's like you've got to have something for hamstrings or soft tissue. A hamstring a day is the 49ers way. There we go. It rhymed. I did it. Luke Gifford goes down with a hamstring, which I understand Luke Gifford kind of brings on jokes a little bit because he was so bad defensively last year, but one of the best Pro Bowl players in the NFL, Pro Bowl team special, you know, Pro Bowler last year was awesome. it's just so problematic how many hamstrings are happening. Led the NFL in hamstring strains last year, the last two seasons, and you just continue. You just continue to see them pile up. Now, the hope is it's just tightness and not a true strain, and they're just being precautious and all that. Like, that's the hope. That's the hope. Now, you look at Mike Evans, who did not practice again today with the quad strain. Now, he's over. Shout out to RSF Niners, Raj, the freaking man. We're getting clips of that and all that stuff. Looking good. Jogging through routes on the side. Looking fine. Kyle Shanahan at the presser said, quote, Mike believes he could be back right now, but we are going to be smart with him, end quote. Love hearing that. Anytime there's a precautionary situation with the 49ers and any type of injury, that is something to applaud. And now you move on. You know, I don't want to move on just yet to Bosa, but I am in the corner of I'm not overly concerned about Mike Evans, really at all. He's shown what he could do already in camp. Yeah, use the extra time. You're not playing for 33 days. This is a vet. Vets usually get rest days anyway, so if there's tightness, you just let that just breathe, allow him to get back to where he's supposed to be. Then, you know, in a week, 2 weeks from now, get him a day or two in camp, slowly bring him back. That's what I want to see. That's what I want to see. Now you look at Nick Bosa, and the soreness still not out there, and Kyle was asked about him. He said, quote, no, he was doing great, then got sore through individuals. No concern. Something happened or a setback. We'll evaluate why the soreness happened, end quote. The one issue that I am concerned about with Kyle Shanahan being back is that dude will lie through injuries like nobody's business. You go back to the CMC, he'll be ready week one. He might start week one and then not playing for like the next 9 weeks. Like, Shanahan will say whatever with injuries, but I'm providing the quotes, and you can do with those what you will. That is up to you. So, yeah, Notorious, I'm still not overly concerned. And again, I talked about this in previous shows. Nick Bosa is a month ahead of schedule. You look at his ACL tear, I was expecting him to start camp on PUP and then kind of start doing the individual stuff after the first week of training camp or after the first week of preseason. He's way ahead. So dealing with the soreness, not overly concerned. Really, really not. And I'm sure other people are, you know, I could do the show. Nick Bosa may not be ready week one and make that the thumbnail and the title and, you know, thousands of clicks. But I think that's just hogwash. And the fact that he's already been out there, that's huge. What did Trent Williams say about Nick Bosa? Dude looks better than he did last year. Dude looks better than he did last year. And so right here, big break. I'm not at all worried. Not even a little bit. Not concerned. We'll see here. I'm scrolling. I'm loving all the injuries. Love it, love it, love it. And yeah, right here, Ben, back to our earlier issue on the quarterback three. Sadly, injuries may dictate roster numbers. Three quarterbacks may not even be possible. You got to see now. The PUP guys, they don't count against roster spots. So, like, I don't expect Mikael Williams to be back. I don't expect George Kittle to be back. So, that's two spots you get to keep. But then you start looking at some of the other ones. It's like, man, you only get so many return from IR spots. There aren't major significant injuries outside of Ricky Pearsall, for sure, in those names I just mentioned. So, what's that going to look like long term? There's going to be more injuries in training camp. It's just going to happen. It's going to happen. So you have to, you could have a plan, but man, you've still got about 22 more days. You've got two, you know, practices against other teams. You've got three preseason games. There's going to be a lot more injuries over the course of the next 3 weeks before you have to cut down to 53. Some of those injuries mean guys will lose jobs. We've already seen that. Khalil Dinkins, right? Mikhail Kamara. Cam Sample, like, you get injured, you're on the back end of this roster, it's goodbye. NFL stands for not for long, and that's heartbreaking. Now, whenever you're talking about guys that will make the 53 and are projected to make the 53, those injuries, all right, now that means, all right, this guy's injured, but we need him after 2 weeks. We can't put him on IR, but we've got to pull up another backup to get us through those first 2 weeks. Now it gets rough. So the injuries and the process with where we are now versus what this roster will look like in 21 days, whew, that's huge. That is huge. Dan, John, does my bookie have an app or just use the web? I use the web all the time on my cell phone. I just use the web app. It's just one of my stored things that I've used them for 7-8 years. Easy to get money in and out. I link mine to my Cash App, which is like instantaneous withdrawal or deposit. But we've been doing a lot of withdrawals with MyBookie, which is awesome. So again, MyBookie.ag, promo code 49ers. You want to help us out, go check it out. Never bet what you can't lose. Never bet what you can't lose. Never bet what you can't lose. Michael, what's up, man? John, longtime audio listener, finally caught alive. Welcome. Welcome to the show. Welcome to the Thunderdome. What's the word on Nate Hobbs? I feel like I haven't heard a peep about him so far in camp. Dude, I'm with you. They're paying him a lot. Now, here is the positive and the negative. You paid late Nate Hobbs, I think like $3 million guaranteed. You brought him in, kind of big nickel type role that could back up every single wide receiver spot. You brought in Jack Jones, basically pennies on the dollar, no guaranteed money. And the hope was you wanted a more competitive defensive back room. You got that. All three of your top-tier corners, D'Amador Lenore, Renardo Green, Upton Stout. By the way, Renardo Green and Upton Stout had pick sixes today. All of them have elevated their play. How much of that is Jerry Gray, Raheem Morris? You have a defensive coordinator with the defensive backs background. That's huge. Corners are just shining. Renardo Green, Upton Stout, Demo, in whatever order you want to put them in, are balling out. So they have kind of stifled any type of conversation for positional controversy or positional battle. No. Those top three guys are it. So that means Nate Hobbs and Jack Jones making plays, but you know, the practices I've been at, he's getting flagged a lot too. That is the Jack Jones experiment. But yeah, like the depth on the backside, it is huge. You have five corners that are NFL ready to play, but Nate Hobbs not making a lot of plays. He just hasn't done that yet. My assumption is him and Jack Jones are going to get a lot of playing time in the regular season. I'm sorry, in the preseason, not the regular season. And so if you do have an injury, man, you don't want anybody getting injured, but it's kind of a shoulder shrug. It's like, dude, we got depth for days at the cornerback position. I've been covering this team for 10 years. I can't think of the last time they had this much corner depth. It's awesome to see. Man, move Nate Hobbs to safety. Let's let him play back there and see what that'd do. They need help in that room. Cornerback room's stout. Get it? Stout? Upton Stout? No? Sorry. It helps whenever I explain it, right? Anyway, yeah, you guys do with you. Oh, what's up, Walner? Appreciate you, man. Always glad to see him, my old teaching buddy. He's a Cowboys fan. Y'all give him a lot of crap in the chat. Love it. Yeah, Logan, thank you. Logan Gifford, very special to this team, at least whenever it comes to special teams. Love it. I'm liking the stretch comments in the chat. You guys are crushing it. Tommy, what's up, man? Appreciate you. David Ballboy in the chat. Niners own the Cal Tricks. I love it. Dude, we will be out in California, David. He's coming to the tailgate. We're going to have a good time. I love it. And look, if you go to any 49ers away game, you got to come party with us. We're going to be in Australia, Mexico City. We got two international trips. We're going to be in Dallas, Atlanta, Seattle. LA's on the horizon. Come party with us. 49ersRushRoadTrip.com.
49ers Rush Road Trip is going into its sixth year with over 40 events at road games. If you are traveling to see the 49ers play this year, you got to come party with us. And on top of that, we give games, trivia, giveaways. We've partnered with TickPick this year. All you have to do is search 49ers Rush on any of the TickPick sites, apps, you name it. And on top of all of that, best dressed, giveaways, autographed jerseys, kids are always included, and get in for free with a ticketed adult. And a lot of times for select cities, we will have 49ers legends come out and you get to meet and greet them and get autographed. Navarro Bowman, Frank Gore, Patrick Willis, Fred Warner are all players that we have worked with in the past. And trust me, if you want to build the 49ers community, you're traveling by yourself, we got you covered. 49ersRushRoadTrip.com.
Dude, shout out to Notorious. He says, the Niners are UK's team, too. They own the media rights there. I'm wearing the freaking, you know, in honor of 49er Faithful UK. They're back. They put out an episode. Go check them out on YouTube, wherever you listen to podcasts. 49ers Faithful UK, if you want an awesome accent with, you know, shout out the four guys. It was awesome. I love those guys. Lee, Paul, Najee, and Gareth. They were live with the, you know, haven't had a lot of shows of late, but as the season gets going, add them to your repertoire. They don't know I'm saying this, but I love those guys. And I think they're coming out to Dallas, too. Yeah, FT UK. I love it. Love it, love it, love it. Now, I want to talk about two rookies. You had two rookies get to the podium today, Romello Height and Deshaun Stribling, which how great is it that those guys are practicing? That is a big deal. So Romello's at the podium, huge positive, huge negative. Okay. He's talking through Nick Bosa and mentor, all that stuff, said Bosa's been a great mentor. They kind of pressed him. What's he teaching you? And he said little things, keys and footwork, which I'm just like, ah. And that's kind of what Nick Bosa is the best at, hand usage, which I thought Romello plays really, really good with his hands, his tape at Texas Tech. And, you know, Romello was asked, what is it that you're trying to work on and improve on? Gaining more space in that very first step, which the GTFO and the burst, Romello's the bend, the burst, he's off the charts in those things, and just trying to get more of that kind of track start. You know, we used to always work track, you know, get offs out of the blocks and stuff with our sprinters and just, man, just knee drive, getting that up, taking space. Love hearing that. Just because he's good at it doesn't mean he can't get better at it. Now, positive quotes. He talked about, quote, being where my feet are, end quote, multiple times. I love hearing that. Not getting involved with the big picture. Be where you are. Be present. I love that. I love that. I love that. I hate the negative. Talked about his biggest challenge was being moved all over the place and learning so many different spots. Absolutely hate. Nuanced take. Love his mentality. Love that he's working on that burst. Hate that you're complicating things for this rookie. You talk to the defensive backs, and what do they say? Ah, it's so easy. You don't have to think. You just play. You just play. You just play. I wanted Romello Height to be under the start of training camp and the beginning of the season, dude, just rush the damn passer. Don't worry about anything else. That's the biggest weakness on the 49ers team, lack of pass rush. Now you drafted a pass rush specialist, and now you're moving them all over the place? I don't like that. I really don't. So positives and negatives, gives and flow, ebbs and flows is what it is. I don't like the fact that they're moving Romello all over the place. I don't like the fact that Romello's learning multiple spots. I don't like. Simplify pass rush is what he should be doing. Simplify pass rush is what he should be doing. That's just me. I don't like that. Now, there were reports today that he jumped off sides multiple times, doing spin moves and one-on-one drills. I hate that. I don't like that. You could use the spin move. And if you're Dwight Freeney, you do whatever the hell you want. Don't like spin moves from a pass rusher. I hate turning my back to the quarterback. Bad things happen. And to be honest with you, you go through Romello Height's tape, which if you want to see that, go to the 49ersrush.com and our Patreon channel. We've got his tape broken down for you. You don't see a lot of good spin moves. And so, yeah, you try some of that stuff in practice, but just some negatives. Pet peeves of mine. Do with that what you want. Do with that what you want. David, right here, where is the watch party in Dallas? We are going to be at Texas Live right in front of Ranger Stadium the day before from 2 to 6. And then we have our all-inclusive tailgate. All of the maps and everything, that's up at 49ersrushroadtrip.com. You click on Dallas, the tailgate, premium tailgate. We're going to have barbecue, drinks, bartenders, you name it, not just beers, not just, you know, whatever, sodas. We're going to have bartenders out there. It's going to be one of our biggest tailgates we've ever thrown. We are right by the stadium, right next to the Walmart. We have enough space for a ridiculous amount of people. It's going to be the largest tailgate we've ever thrown. But if you want to see the exact location and address and where that is, just go to 49ersrushroadtrip.com. You click on the Dallas tailgate. You see the map, exactly where it is, the times, you name it. That is all up there. Same for the day before events. All of our addresses are up. Locations are up. So you know exactly where they're going to be. We have premium spots. We paid a pretty penny for those. Shout out to Scott and X Group Hospitality for helping us with that. We've been partners with them for a long time. They are the best. They are the best. Now, let's talk Stribling. Deshaun Stribling, one, it's just great to have him back. Again, back to the idea of being preemptive with holding guys out with injuries. That is huge. That is a new addition. You like that. Stribling gets, you know, a hamstring. Again, hamstring a day. It's the 49ers way. I hate that I've said that twice. It's a little catchy. Yeah, I might say it a lot more times. But he only missed 5 days. He didn't miss weeks. He didn't miss months with hamstring. He missed 5 days. So that's a good thing. Gets up to the podium and just talked about working on being a reliable choice for Brock Purdy. And he was asked, how do you do that? Getting open and catching the ball. Unbelievable hands, some of the best hands of any wide receiver coming out of the draft. Now, getting open and space creating, that wasn't really his repertoire, especially at Ole Miss, that stupid, weird offense where it's all hitch routes and, you know, double moves and whatever else. But Deshaun Stribling has looked the part early on and consistently at practice, at OTAs, training camp. He just keeps checking boxes as this is an NFL wide receiver. The size, the speed, the hands. My favorite thing on him, dude, personality and demeanor. Confidence and maturity just ooze out of this dude. It, like, father's in the, you know, Marine Corps. Nothing's too big for him. He became a captain in the SEC day one for Ole Miss. And that's a pretty damn good squad. They went pretty damn deep in the playoffs, large part because of him. There's just so much about, he was a rush crush guy. You know, he was one of the guys that I just kept screaming, this is going to be a great football player. Did I have him going 33rd overall? I did not. We had a third round grade on him. But you got a guy that a lot of people loved. It just so far passing the eye test. We'll see what happens long term, but gosh, it's so easy to get behind Deshaun Stribling and just be like, yeah, this guy. Talked about how he's working on being more physical at the top of his routes, which he's always been physical there, but he's trying to improve that. He said, you know, Mike Evans working with him on that, and more physical at the catch point, which he is. He's always been great at that. Doesn't mean you can't improve. And so, again, you look at Deshaun Stribling, you look at Romello Hight, your two top rookies coming into this draft class. Both of them are working on things that they already excelled at the college level, not being content with what you've done. Romello working on gaining more space, more speed on that first step. Deshaun Stribling, who's 6'2", 210, being more physical. He's already physical. Yeah. Those are huge positives. You could choose to focus on the negatives. I hate that they're moving both those guys around to all these different spots. Let them perfect one and move on, but the Niners have a different way. Reese, White, and Height, and Sam are going to have to produce with Williams being out. Yeah, talking Keon White, Romello Height, and Sam O. Sam O's had a great camp. Yeah, he did get banged up, but he's already back out there. Keon White's been great, but he's been banged up a little bit. Heights, you know, get carted off with cramps, but that's in the past now. Yeah, they're going to have to step up. Mikael Williams coming back. I think it's going to take a month, maybe a little bit longer. Dave, oh snap, next to Walmart in Texas. No way that won't be interesting. Yeah, there we go. The Flying Hawaiian. Or strip club. I like all of these names. I love it. And hopefully Christian Kirk can return soon. Calf strain, man. That was not preemptive. He's missed weeks already. But 15 getting those snaps. And so there you go. 15 getting those snaps. I think that's a big deal. And right here, Notorious, yeah, let's hope Strip stays out of the doghouse. That's a big deal. Deshaun the Phenom. Ooh, I like that big brick. I like it. Jordan Watkins has been good, too, with limited opportunities. The practices I've been at, I don't know. Jordan Watkins and Jacob Cowing are very incomplete wide receivers, to say the least. And they're kind of a pick-your-poison type wide receiver. Like, I don't know. Me and Larry, shout out to Larry Kruger. He's freaking crushing it. That dude's working harder than anybody. He's so good. We completely disagree on this. He thinks Jacob Cowing has been terrible at camp. I think Jordan Watkins has been terrible at camp. I think we're both right. I don't think either one of those two guys have really done a lot to cement their position on this roster. I think Jacob Cowing a little bit more so because of what he's done in the punt game. And again, he's the first one up there in punt return. Yeah, you might have Debo return some punts, but you know, if I am a betting man, I would bet Jacob Cowing is way ahead of Jordan Watkins currently. I could be wrong. I've been wrong before. My wife would tell you that. But yeah, I don't know. Jordan Watkins gets open way better than Cowing. There is no doubt about that. Like, the separation is definitely on Jordan Watkins' side. Special teams, hands, like, it's, I don't know. I'm not a Jordan Watkins guy. I wasn't when he was drafted. I think he's a vertical separator. He could get horizontal separation. He's just so weak at the catch point. I don't know. One of those guys probably going to make it. But I would put Jacob Cowing ahead, personally. And I'm okay being wrong. And it's not like I'm rooting against Jordan Watkins. I just struggle with somebody that the ball has to be put perfect spots for him to catch. I don't like that. But he is getting a lot of separation on his routes. Like maybe the most on the NFL, on any 49ers wide receiver. Like he gets the separation, but throws a little behind, little high, little low. That's where the struggle comes in. Crazy Juice says Watkins ahead of Cowing. Yeah, it's not my job to say which one you got to go with. Like I love present the context through the perspective that I have. Then you guys decide, and we'll see what happens whenever it comes up to training camp. If Watkins makes it over Cowing, I will be happy with that. If Cowing makes it over Watkins, I will be happy with that. Like, I don't have stock in either one of them. My own personal is Cowing has outperformed Watkins at the camps I've been at. That's just me. Oh, look at this. Notorious just coming in clutch with these niggas. MTV Stribs. This is where the magic happens. That is awesome. Slick says Cowing's getting cut. You know, he's got the hip flexor injury now. And if he stays out for a while, then yeah, I would start to lean that way. For sure. For sure. Let's see here. Yeah, it's not like we've seen a lot of production from both of them, right? You haven't seen any. I would argue Cowing has shown so much more. He was the punt returner for a full year. He at least had that 150-yard catch. Nothing after that. I think you had like two receptions for Jordan Watkins. That was it. But Cowing's been with the team for 2 years, had the two major hamstring injuries last year, hamstring a day, 49ers way. Watkins is now in his second year, so we'll see that. Ben, shout out to Ben. He's crucial to what we do here with the 49ers Rush Podcast. Coming to the draft, I thought Cowing was surprisingly strong at the catch mount. Agreed, especially given his size. Remember, Jacob Cowing is second all-time in NFL or NCAA history with continuous catches per game. Like, or consecutive games with a catch. That's the correct way to phrase it. Like, the production and consistency that Cowing has shown throughout his career is historic with multiple teams. Jordan Watkins was in that crappy Ole Miss offense, just hitches and goes. And Jacob Cowing didn't even start until he had not one but two wide receivers get injured. Trey Harris ahead of him. I do like Jordan Watkins, and he can stack vertically, but then you go add Mike Evans, who's the number one X wide receiver in the NFL over the past decade, and you add Deshaun Stribling, who's a vertical burner too, so it's a little redundancy. He's kind of a casualty of redundancy with the new additions to the wide receiver room. That's just me. Jordan and I could understand the guys who have been here for years, but the rookies get injured too. Yeah. Oh, sorry. You're talking. Guys, we're a football show. I'm not diving into the substation. I'm not diving into car wrecks. I'm not diving into players' Instagrams. That's just not my thing. Not discounting it. I don't know. I know football, so I'm going to talk football. And so, like, that's my take on the issue. It's not like I'm dodging it. I just want to do a football show. I don't disagree. It's ridiculous to see that you're next to freaking Mordor for your practice facility. Just Get the fuck out of Santa Clara. It's the worst place ever for a football team to have a stadium. Not taking shots at Santa Clara. I'm taking shots at Santa Clara for not being a football host city at all. It never was built for that. It was built for office spaces. That's why it exists. Have office spaces there. Not football stadiums. Get the hell out of that place. Worst location of an NFL stadium in the NFL. I've been to 26. It is the worst. Like, Orchard Park's better. Orchard Park sucks. Anyway. So, I just want to talk football, guys. Logan, Deshaun, the Gone Stripling. Dude, y'all are killing this with these names, man. I love it. Absolutely love it. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Appreciate you, Reese. Yeah, Levi's location is just such a joke, man. Such a joke. Now, here are some more training camp tidbits that I have gathered that I want to share. Jake Tonjes just continues to impress. Now, it is important to understand, Tonjes is still drastically behind Luke Farrell at the tight end position. It is Luke Farrell with the ones, Jake Tonjes with the twos. Now, sometimes when you go two tight ends, Tonjes gets reps with the ones, but that doesn't happen a lot. Has not been a lot of 12 personnel in camp. It's been a lot of 21 personnel, a lot of 11 personnel. Not a lot of 12s. When George Kittle comes back, that changes. And yeah, there has been some 12 personnel, but not like what we're used to seeing. It's been a lot of 21, two backs, one tight end, or 11, one back, one tight end. Some 12, not a lot of 12. Do with that what you will. But Jake Tonge has been awesome. He should be getting reps with the ones. He is better than Luke Farrell. And Luke Farrell's been playing a bigger role in the passing game. It does seem like Brock Purdy and him have built up, you know, the trust factor is there. But Tonjes, dude, red zone threat, dude. Just red zone threat. Shout out to RSF Niners. Who also said, you know, the offense lacked rhythm today, which kind of makes sense. Upton Stout had a pick six. Diamondor Lenore had a pick six in red zone. Mayoko talked about that. Offense kind of struggling, but when the defensive backs are dominating, that's what you're going to get. Offensive line struggling. Connor Colby getting dominated in 1v1s today versus James Thompson Jr. Sounds like James Thompson Jr. is taking everybody to the woodshed. 6'6", just big old undrafted free agent, just showing some things. Shout out to Noah Furtado for that clip. And then Enrique Cruz struggling as well consistently. Haven't really seen Enrique Cruz do much good in camp, but he's a developmental play. Now, Brad Graham, get better, brother. He said he thinks Enrique Cruz might get cut. Fourth and fifth round picks don't get cut often. Now, can the Niners stash some of these guys? I don't know. Maybe you put Enrique Cruz on IR. He has a mysterious injury. Put him on IR before the 53-man cut. He's a project play anyway. I would not be shocked if Carver Willis or Enrique Cruz or both get some type of Shanahan injury and just get put on IR to come back next year. Would not be shocked. Would not be shocked at all. Just to help with numbers. Those guys ain't playing this year anyway. They're so raw. They were developmental picks from the start. And like how, like, it's the first offensive tackle the Niners have drafted in four NFL drafts in a row. Only team in the NFL that can say that. They finally draft one, and now they're going to cut him? They may never draft a tackle again. Come on, Enrique. You were the chosen one. You were supposed to bring balance to the force. Oh, the high ground. Enrique Cruz, come on, buddy. We're all counting on you. Just want to know we believe in you, and we're all counting on you. Man, there we go. Back-to-back Star Wars 2 airplane references. Come on, guys. We need you in the chat. You got to pick out the references. But Enrique Cruz, like, it's rough. Vidarian Lowe with a high ankle sprain. He's probably got the second most severe injury so far. Like, obviously, Ricky Pearsall, but that's a past injury that the health and fitness staff didn't catch. Vidarian Lowe with a high ankle sprain could be 6 to 8 weeks. And then you got Christian Kirk with, you know, the calf strain, that could be 2 to 6 weeks. Not mentioning guys that have been waived and put on IR for the year, Mikhail Kamara, those guys. But as far as guys that are still on the roster, Vidarian Lowe opened the window for Enrique Cruz to come in and steal the job. He has not done that. That door is wide open. So much so they're still practicing and trying out offensive linemen, the 49ers are. Notorious Execute Order 49. I like that. I like that. That's awesome. I'm a little behind on the chat. Oh, I got to scroll up. Yep, got to click this one after Cowboys. Hate them, hate them, hate them. Everybody hates them. It's just what it is. I guess I am taking shots at Jed York. Like, the choice to move to Santa Clara benefited Jed York. He got all that money from it. Logan, I'm also happy Nick Martin has taken most of his opportunity. He's looked good. He has passed the eye test. He has passed the eye test. Dude, don't talk trash, David. He says there's new stadium in Dallas. Dude, you're not even in Dallas. You're the Arlington. Jerry Jones started this bullshit that all the NFL owners are doing because they care about money more than they care about the fan base and the climate and the culture for fans. Jerry Jones started this shit by holding all the different city councils hostage against each other for fear of losing the freaking Dallas Cowboys. Like, they're not the Dallas, they're in Arlington. The San Francisco 49ers are in Santa Clara. And it's all about freaking socialized cost, make all these stupid cities pay for a billionaire owner to move their stuff there and then privatize cost, and they get to keep it all. It is absolutely horrible. The fans get screwed. The owners get richer. I am not a billionaire bootlicker. I don't know, David isn't either. But anytime I can make fun of David, I'm going to do it. It's our love language. Miss you, Dad. RTP, all the minutia is a waste of time, energy, and effort. Thank you. Los Gatos in the house. Love it, love it, love it. Love it, love it, love it. Dude, I have been to Cowboys Stadium several times for 49ers games. Faithful show out, man. The faithful show out. All those Cowboys fans sell their tickets when the 49ers come because we can pay. Dude, I was there for the playoff game. Those Niner fans took over that damn stadium. Now the Cowboys fans travel, and I would argue that the Cowboys fans have had the best showing at Levi's of any opposing fan base. Cowboys fans travel. You have to get, like, Cowboys fans, they are loyal. It's what it is, but they've showed out. But I have been to Cowboys games in Levi's, and I have been to Niners games in the Cowboys stadium. There is no debate over which fan base travels better currently. There's none. I would argue pretty damn close to 50%, maybe 55% Niner fans were in Cowboys Stadium, maybe 30-35% Cowboys fans in Levi's Stadium. It's not close. It's not close. Am I biased? You bet your ass I am. Am I right? You bet your ass I am. The 49ers fan base is way better. Only thing the Cowboys fan base is better at is believing, giving undying love to an undying owner in Jerry Jones. That's about it. I love everybody going after him. I love it. I love it. So, fun stuff. It's a lot of positives. Yeah, I love the rookies getting behind the podium and kind of learning what they're doing. I like that the 49ers are being very preemptive with how they're handling injuries. I love the 49ers defensive backs, that cornerback room, just getting freaking stout. I love all those things. All right here, yeah, Ben. Cowboys fans are loyal, but they're also stupid. Another W for the faithful. Yeah, I will say I did enjoy listening to Cowboys radio growing up in Texas. Like, it's pretty comical. It is pretty comical, but that's okay. It's what it is. I appreciate everybody for being here. You guys are the best of the best. I love my job, and I'm very thankful. I love training camp. The 49ers get their day off tomorrow. We are going to do our final installment tomorrow of the 49ers roster countdown. This is the earliest we have ever concluded the 49ers roster countdown, which means once I finish that, I have to do my taxes. Damn it. But I that's usually the flow that I go through every year. I file an extension, finish the roster countdown, then I get started on my taxes, and the goal is to get those done before preseason ends. We'll see how that goes. But very thankful. So join us tomorrow as we get to our top four 49ers and piss more people off because, golly, with seven potential Hall of Famers on this roster, how do you narrow it down to the four most impactful for this year? Well, join us tomorrow. We will find that out. Thank you guys all for being here. And as always, stay strong, faithful.